Copyright 1973 by Sonia Moore.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the fifth lecture demonstration of the new series on the Stanislavski system, presented by the American Center for Stanislavski Theater Art. The actor's art is the art of dramatic action. Only what is projected through an action acquires strength and lives on stage. The actor fulfills on stage psychophysical actions typical for the character with his own organic resources and his physical elements, his body, voice, and speech. The Stanislavski system is the psychological technique, the artistic technique, as Stanislavski called it. It enables the actor to build a naturally functioning character on stage by following the laws of the actor's organic nature. He must exist on stage organically as the character, not be satisfied with being himself. For Stanislavski, there was no theater without actors capable of merging with the character. The creation of an artistic character is the goal of the Stanislavski school of acting. Actors who are trained in the Stanislavski system must not stop their education with just being able to achieve naturalness. They must go beyond and learn the choice of psychophysical actions and be able to think, to experience, and act as the character they portray. The theater must have actors who have mastered this professional acting technique, and it must be taught in all drama schools and drama departments of our colleges and universities. We shall then have an acting profession. All actors will speak one theatrical language, no matter in what school they have studied. Today, we shall talk about how the actor's instrument is prepared for work on the role. As you know, one of the natural laws of the functioning of a human being on which the Stanislavski system is based is the continuous chain of thought in our minds. We call this chain of thought the inner monologue. For instance, while I am speaking, there is an inner monologue in your mind. Listening means to think in response to what you are hearing. It is a spontaneous process and does not require any effort of your will. Uninterrupted thinking is a law of nature of all human beings throughout the world, regardless of nationality, race, or religion. Objective laws of nature are the same for all of us. On stage, when the actor portrays another person in different circumstances from his own, his thoughts that must be typical for the character are not spontaneous. If the actor's will does not participate, he will be thinking as himself, and his thoughts will have nothing to do with the characters. The actor will then distort the character. The inner monologue must be built by the actor consciously. To build the mentality of the character, the logical, typical, psychological behavior of another person, the actor must study the play, the author, and the character he will portray. Though the fact that all human beings are thinking continually is true for all people, what every person thinks is different because we live and act in different circumstances, and we are all different people. The actor will understand the character's way of thinking if he thoroughly understands the play. He must begin with the study of the play and of the mentality of the author. From the first steps, the student actors are trained through improvisations to be able to choose and to fulfill a typical, logical, expressive action. Before the future actor begins work on a psychophysical action in a role, his psychological and physical instrument must be prepared. While working on improvisations, our students also use a small excerpt from a play and learn to project the subtext or the meaning they want to project while saying the words of the author. They're also assimilating the inner monologue and images. Though Chekhov's plays are difficult, we use small excerpts from The Three Sisters as examples for the inner work. Chekhov's way of writing influenced the development of the Stanislavski system. Chekhov's plays have many pauses and silences. This is perfect for the work we're learning, assimilating two of the essential steps in building the character: inner monologue and images. For instance, in the beginning of the first act, Masha has no lines for quite a while, but she has her continuous inner monologue while others speak, and later in the pauses of her own lines, and she has her images. Irina hardly speaks at all in the scene which we use, but has her images of everyone and everything she dreams about. All the women in the class work on the beginning of Act One, and all the men work on a scene between Andrei and Ferapon from Act Two. Because the students at this stage have many steps to assimilate and have not yet begun analysis of the play through the method of physical actions, which brings the essence of the play to the surface, the teacher helps them. At this stage of the student actor's studies, the teacher explains the play and its super objective. He tells the students about the events in the excerpt and suggests the actions. The students begin working on subtext, inner monologue, and images. Without knowing the event and the actions, they would not be able to choose the right thoughts or images. Our experience has proved that if we do not give due emphasis to inner monologue and images, and if the actor's mind is not prepared for this work, he will later neglect these important steps. On the other hand, the actor who has assimilated these techniques and whose mind is ready will be always thinking on stage as the character and seeing the character's images. This will be his second nature. The actor begins his work on inner monologue by writing down on paper every thought that he thinks should go through his mind as the character, when he is silent while others speak, or during the pauses of his own text. If the actor stops thinking as the character during the moments of his silence, he kills the life of the character. Moreover, if the actor does not think as the character, he does not exist on stage, and the role diminishes and loses its importance. It is essential that before memorizing his lines, the actor knows the subtext, images, and his inner monologue. Otherwise, his intonations will be mechanical. The thoughts in the actor's mind, which we call inner monologue, expressed by his body, should lead the actor logically to his words. As the actor learns more about the character, the thought he has chosen will become more logical, more typical, and more expressive of the character. An actor must change what he has prepared before, but every thought must be written down from the first steps in order that the actor be able to change and improve them. Otherwise, the thoughts may be only accidental and primitive. Sometimes confusion arises among our student actors about the difference between the inner monologue and the subtext. It is important that the difference be understood clearly. Subtext is the meaning behind the lines. It is the undercurrent of the words. what we want to say with the words. The inner monologue, on the other hand, is the chain of thought in the character's mind while others speak or during pauses in the actor's own lines, which lead him to his words. In addition to creating the continuity of the character's life on stage, the inner monologue expressed by the actor's body is also one of the most important steps toward ensemble playing. Ensemble is the continuous psychological and physical reaction to one another on stage. Usually we think in reaction to what we hear other people say. The actor's thoughts as the character must be in reaction to what he hears. Actors must learn to respond to each other's thoughts, not only to each other's words. Such reaction to each other, together with the physical reaction, creates true communion and true relationships on stage. There are, of course, moments on stage when you do not have to respond in reaction to another character, as for instance, in the beginning of the first act of The Three Sisters. In this scene, the sisters are separated. Irina is so immersed in her daydreaming that she barely hears Olga speaking. Another essential step in work on a role is the continuous film of images in the actor's mind as the character, while he speaks or while he listens. This is also an objective law of nature, which the Stanislavski system follows. If the character is to be alive, the actor must have a film of images passing through his mind. Let me try to give you a clearer understanding of this. In the scene from Act One of The Three Sisters to which I referred, Olga speaks about her father, who is mentioned in the play but who never appears. The actress who works on the role of Olga must choose a person in her own life who means to her personally what Olga's father means to Olga. While speaking about him, the actress must see the image of the man she knows. Also, when she says, "It was cold then and snowing," the actress should see snow in New York or in the country. It doesn't have to be Moscow, because Moscow doesn't mean anything to an American actress. The actor must dig into the reservoir of his memory and bring out persons, events, and places from his own life that will be analogous to or right for those of the character. In order to have concrete images and involve his own organic nature, the actor must bring out what he really knows in life. Words without such images are only dead sounds. In the scene from the beginning of The Three Sisters, the actress who portrays Olga, while saying her lines, must project her subtext. The images she chooses must be of the subtext or of what she means. Stanislavski called it illustrated subtext. And she must have inner monologues and images in the pauses she makes. Irina, during Olga's speech, is totally immersed in her daydreaming and barely comes out of it even when she reacts to Olga and says, "Why, think of it." The actors portraying Irina must have continuous inner monologue and images. And Masha has her continuous inner monologue and her images while trying to concentrate on the book. I want to make it clear that while you are on stage, you must see your partner, not the image of someone else. The actor must see images of people who are not on stage, but should see the real partner while speaking to him. While working on a role, the actor may have an image of a person in his life for whom he has the same feeling as the character he portrays has toward another character. This will help the actor to find the actions which he will use on stage with his stage partner. If the actor finds the right typical behavior, he will make the audience believe that his partner is the person he wants the audience to believe he is. The actor may use images on stage only for those who are mentioned but are not on stage. Let me make this clearer and give you an example. For instance, take a chair and treat it as if it were a throne. Think of the circumstances in which you are standing near a throne. Do not try to have hallucinations and try to believe that this is a throne. But you must make your spectators believe that this chair is a throne. You will succeed only if you use truthful characteristic actions which you would use if you were standing in front of a real throne. You may say that you have never seen a real throne. Use Stanislavski's magic if. Ask yourself what you would do if you were in a room with a throne. Ask yourself where this could happen, why you are there. If you make a true effort, your imagination will respond and you will find answers. And if you find and use truthful, characteristic actions, a miraculous thing happens. You yourself will believe in what you are doing. And now, the same chair is an electric chair. If every time you must treat a chair as a throne, as an electric chair, or treat what you see backstage as a blue sea, your partner as your wife, your brother, or your king, you will attempt to hallucinate. You will make yourself ill. The effort must be made towards finding actions which project your attitude and treat the objects as the ones you want your audience to believe they are. The choice of the right actions or adaptations is the most important thing for actors. But remember that an action is a psychophysical unbreakable process. This is why we insist on the assimilation of inner monologue and images from the very first steps of the future actor studies. The inner monologue and the images are the obligatory part of the psychological side of an action. If the actor is unable to think as the character every moment he is on stage, and if he does not see the continuous film of images as the character he portrays is dead. As is the inner monologue, so are images essential to ensemble playing. In addition to the images in his mind, when the actor speaks his lines, he must also see everything mentioned by his partner, if the moment on stage requires that he hear what is being said. This creates true communion and true human relationships and ensemble on stage. The work on inner monologue and images is complex and subtle. The actor's mind must be prepared for this demanding mental activity. Students must learn to see images in every improvisation. They should see in their minds real people involved in the situations which they build. And students must learn to think in the situation of every improvisation. This can be done only through the effort of the student's will. We shall discuss images and inner monologue more in our future lectures, since they are essential in the actor's work on a role. One of the most useful exercises in the future actor's training is the sense memory exercise, which is done without objects, just with air. This is an especially useful exercise because the student, in order that those who watch him really see and understand what he is doing, must do it truthfully, with thorough concreteness. To achieve this, the student must see the object in his mind. He must watch the measure of truth. He must be properly relaxed. He must use as much concentration as he would use with the real object. In short, the student must use all the elements of a truthful, lifelike action. A situation in which the object is handled should be established. The student must become used to the idea that an action without concrete circumstances is only a mechanical movement and has no meaning. In sense memory exercises, thorough concreteness must be demanded by the teacher. These exercises, in addition to stirring the senses, are an excellent means to teach the future actor how concrete his work on stage must be. We shall continue to speak about the method of physical actions in our next lecture. If you have questions, please write to me. Sonia Moore Lectures, care of WNYC FM, New York, New York, 10007. Thank you for being with us.